Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Politicians pull back the curtain and put on a show. What did we see? 6 hours of policy wonking, a few minutes of posturing, starring the president and a cast of both parties.
We don't care for this bill. I think you know that. The American people don't care for the bill. I think that we've demonstrated in the polling that they don't.
That's Republican Whip Eric Cantor. And how did the audience react? We checked in with our listeners.
I don't know that anyone watching that could have come away thinking that much was accomplished.
I was disappointed in that entire bill that has been worked through the legislative process over the last year. They want it completely thrown out, which really shows no chance of compromise.
So what's the next act? We'll find out on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, February 26th. I'm Lynn Scher in for a few days for Celeste Headlee. And The Takeaway is, there was that summit, John.
Well, you know, the president, and good morning, Lynn. the president says the time for talking about health reform is over, but boy, they did a lot of talking yesterday. Let's get right to the top stories we're following. The president said this near the end of yesterday's televised healthcare summit.
We cannot have another year-long debate about this.
The president told Republicans if they can't compromise, Democrats will move forward with a bill with or without their support. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee said his party wants a do-over.
Our view, with all respect, is that this is a car that can't be recalled and fixed and that we ought to start over. But we'd like to start over.
Democrats will reportedly wait until next week to see if there's any change in the gridlock.
For a quick recap, we are joined by Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Lynn.
Todd, there were a lot of speeches and gimmicks yesterday. Were they, in fact, talking to each other?
Well, they were talking to each other, but only for a minority of the time because there are so many different audiences. They were playing to their political bases. Barack Obama was playing to some of the Democrats in his own party who don't want to follow him on this bill. Republicans were playing to Tea Party people who they want to try to get into the fold for the next election. And they were playing to the cameras, of course, the news media. So sometimes you're playing to the back of the room, sometimes to the wings, sometimes to the balcony. Lots of audiences in that room.
And we'll talk about much more. Stay with us, Todd. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Another big story, bombers striking at the heart of Afghanistan this morning. It's the sound of suicide bombers triggering a series of explosions and gun battles that killed at least 17 people in Kabul. The target was a row of hotels used by Indian embassy workers. The Taliban is claiming responsibility. Meanwhile, to the south in the city of Marja, Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell says NATO-led operations there are trending in a positive direction.
We are transitioning from the clearing phase into the holding phase.
Morrell says crude explosives remain the biggest threat. Here at home, the Veterans Affairs Department is going to bat for soldiers who suffer from what's commonly called Gulf War illness. The VA says now it will reexamine the disability claims of what could be thousands of veterans, the first step toward potentially compensating them nearly two decades after the war ended.
And it was another big day for Team USA at the Olympics with four medals overall. The U.S. took both the gold and silver in the Nordic combined, with Bill DeMong finishing on top.
I don't think either of us really cared who won or got second, and I honestly didn't know what place it was going to be until about the last 2 seconds.
The U.S. women's hockey team lost the gold medal game to Canada. Also, American women figure skaters left the games without a medal. Heavy favorite Kim Yuna of South Korea took gold. Asian and European markets are up. Futures are up. The Dow gets underway at 10,321. The S&P opens at 1,102, and the NASDAQ opens at 2,234.
Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to talk about movies like we do every Friday. With the Oscars a little over a week away, we'll find out which Best Picture nominees are worth seeing. Also, we have trivia. That's later this hour. And all this week in our Frustration Nation series, we've been talking about gridlock in Washington, how to fix it. Today, we're convening a constitutional amendment convention on The Takeaway. What's an amendment to tweak or fix the gridlock in Washington?
You
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Hi, I'm Lynn Scherr, in for Celeste Headlee for a few days on
Good
The Takeaway.
Morning, Lynn.
Good morning,
great
John.
To have you here.
Lovely to be with you. Thank you so much.
Snowy day in New York.
It's a miserable day
yes,
in New
indeed,
York.
Indeed.
But we're nice and cozy inside, and we have great stuff to talk about. For example, they were at it for more than 6 hours yesterday.
What were they doing? It seemed like they were shooting campaign commercials, if you ask me.
Well, in fact, John, the cameras were rolling. It was, as we say, a spirited debate about the president's proposal for health care reform. And, John, at its heart, it was democracy in action.
This is such a complicated issue that it's inevitably going to be contentious. But what I'm hoping to accomplish today is for everybody to focus not just on where we differ, but focus on where we agree. Because there actually is some significant agreement on a host of issues.
But all that talk about bipartisanship resulted in very little compromise, at least publicly. Joining us to review the proceedings is Takeaway's Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, who followed every lively minute of the day-long forum. And Laurie Robertson is also with us. She's managing editor for FactCheck.org and head of our Truth Squad this morning. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Lynn.
Todd, let me start with you. Republicans said they wanted to scratch the bill and start all over again. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Every American cares deeply about the quality of their health care and access to health care and cost of health care. They have followed this debate like no other, and they have rendered a judgment about what we have attempted to do so far. The solution to that is to put that on the shelf and to start over.
Todd, talking about starting over doesn't sound like much of a compromise.
No, and it's not going to happen, and if that's what Republicans expect, they know they won't get it from the Democrats. The Democrats have made clear that they're willing to, at least they say they're willing to make some changes to the plan that they have, but that this is the plan they were going with. You know, this whole event, Lynn, as a political event, was extraordinary. Both sides live on television, going at each other. There were some areas of that looked like they could be common agreement, like cracking down on waste and fraud in the medical in the medical system, you know, going after the money that we spend on things that don't really go towards treating people or keeping them well. But in Washington, that stuff is low-hanging fruit. And this event was never going to be a negotiating session. It was never intended to be that. If anyone expected them to shake hands at the end and have a bill, that was never going to happen. But it allowed both sides, I think, to appear engaged in the debate. The president took away all of the objections that he's not willing to negotiate or compromise, or that this whole process has been closed. Here was a process that was live on TV. At the same time, the Republicans take away the accusations that they don't have a plan. They did present a plan. They told the president, here's what we would like to do. We would like to let people buy insurance across state lines. We would like to have meaningful caps on lawsuits against doctors, things as well.
And they did it, Todd, in a very different format than we're used to watching, certainly on television. And by the way, not everyone was always on their best behavior.
Let me just make this point, John, because we're not campaigning anymore. The election's over.
I'm reminded of that every day.
Yes, well, obviously, the two contenders for the presidency, John McCain, President Obama. So other than that kind of thing, Todd, were there, in fact, some real points made?
Sure. I mean, there were real points made on both sides. And I thought the most interesting part of this was, frankly, the posturing, because, again, this was a political event. Democrats kept saying, we're just so close. We agree on so much. And the message there, the subtext is, if you Republicans would just give a little bit, we can get a bill for the American people. The Republicans know what their message is. This bill is unpopular, Mr. President. Scrap it and start over. Those are two political messages playing to two very separate groups of people. If those are the messages going in, they were never going to reach an agreement.
Laurie, let me go over to you now, our fact checker, Laurie Robertson. One of the big issues that came up early was whether the president's proposal would lower premiums. Here's what Republican Senator Lamar Alexander said, followed by the response by President Obama.
It means there'll be about $500 billion of new taxes in it. It means that for millions of Americans, premiums will go up because when people pay those new taxes,
Even without the subsidies, it's estimated by the Congressional Budget Office that the plan we put forward would lower the costs in the individual market for the average person who's just trying to buy health insurance and they're not lucky enough to work for a big company, would lower their costs by between 14% and 20%. So, Lamar, when you mentioned earlier that you said premiums go up, that's just not the case.
Lori Robertson, who's right, who's wrong on this one?
Well, actually, they're both being misleading. And, of course, the truth here is a little bit complicated. But the Congressional Budget Office looked at the Senate bill, which is largely similar to the president's plan, and found that really there would be no significant change in premiums for those who are in group policies, those who get their insurance through their employer. But for those in the individual market, people who buy coverage on their own, they would see an average premium hike of between 10% and 13%. There's a little bit of a but there. The reason that those premiums are going up so much in the individual market is because the benefits are going to get a heck of a lot better. And part of that is the mandate that plans have a certain level of benefits. And the other reason, the CBO said, is because a lot of people in that individual market are going to get subsidies. About 57% of them are going to get subsidies, and that kind of prompts people to get a better plan than they normally would.
So as you say, complicated. No surprise that both sides were a little off on that one. Let me give you another one, Lori. Soon after that, Republican Senator Tom Coburn said this about spending.
The government now directs over 60% of the health care in this country.
Lori Robertson, true or false?
Well, it's not really true. Sorry about that. I can't give you a straight yes or no. Really, the figure's about 47%, but Coburn had asked for a study that adds in a bunch of other stuff that you normally wouldn't include, lost tax revenue due to charitable contributions and lost tax revenue due to deals that employers get for offering coverage. So his figure's inflated.
It is complex, as I say. Little wonder they don't stick to the pure facts. Todd, 10 seconds, wrap it up. What happens next?
Well, the president said at the end of this meeting, I'll give it 6 weeks for you guys to see if you're going to compromise. If not, we're going to ram this home.
Okay, Todd. Todd Zwillick in Washington. Lori Robertson, thanks for your help.
Another deadline. At 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at headlines. In Afghanistan, suicide bombers have killed at least 17 people in the heart of Kabul. What you're hearing now is the sound of gunfire in Kabul this morning. Security forces are looking for suspects. Afghan police say they shot and killed two of the attackers. The BBC reports other gunmen are holed up in a hotel surrounded by security forces. In the south, the city of Marja is nearly free of insurgents, but Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell says the area is still littered with explosives.
We're still losing troops, and the biggest threat to them remains IED. So we have to be very careful about how we progress into those areas that are not under Afghan and coalition control.
NATO says another service member was killed today by a roadside bomb.
Back home, House leaders have thrown out plans to vote on a major jobs bill today. That's after the Senate passed the bill on Wednesday. Various Democratic factions have objected to the proposed legislation. Meanwhile, the Senate failed to extend programs for laid-off workers yesterday. That jeopardizes unemployment benefits that will expire over the weekend. Democrats could not overcome the objections of a single Kentucky senator who said the $10 billion bill would add to the budget deficit.
It's another big day for Team USA at the Olympics. Four medals overall. The U.S. took both the gold and silver in the Nordic combined, but the U.S. did not win against the Canadian women's hockey team. They lost 2-0. Back home in the Northeast, hundreds of flights have been canceled. Thousands are without power as another slow-moving winter storm settles in on New York, New Jersey, and parts of New England. That's a look at some of the stories we're following this morning. Coming up, we'll get you the latest results from women's hockey and figure skating. We talk with the New York Times Olympics editor Jason Stallman once again with our Olympics takeout coming up in just a few minutes.
What's your take? Leave a comment at thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.